if I move on, then does that mean that I failed at what I'm doing now?
Welcome to the Family Man Show with Todd Wilson. This is the show where we remind dads of what's most important. I'm your host, Scott Moore. Thanks for joining us today. Hey, Todd, how's it going?
Hey, Scott, we've got a special guest with us. He's not even that special anymore because this is his third time on the show. Michael Costo from Tampa, Florida. Thanks for being on the show.
Oh, great to be here, Todd. Thanks for having me.
Well, Michael, usually I bring in the guests, you know, after we've done our little chit-chat thing. But I thought since you've been around, you know, this is your third show and you listen frequently from your lunch hour at McDonald's, I just thought, you know, you could be part of this discussion because we're starting something new. I don't even know what we're going to call this little segment. Maybe like the news roundup, you know, that's what they are. But I told Scott, how about you bring some news item from that you've seen this week, and I'll bring a news item and we'll just talk about it. See, you know, maybe it has something to do with dads. Maybe it's just interesting to dad. So I've got the first news item and I just thought this was interesting, that, you know, with all this, debate on your gender and can you be a man? Can you be a woman? I thought this guy finally made some sense. There's a Dutch man, I don't know what his name is, Emil Retelbend, maybe. It probably sounds more Dutchy than I said it. He's 69, and he started a legal battle to lower his age 20 years so he can get a date on the website Tinder, I guess. He started this big thing. He says, you know, his doctors say, I have the body of a 49-year-old. And so he thinks it is his legal right because he feels discriminated against because he can't get a date or he can't get a good job or he can't get whatever. And so he's, you know, he wants to change his legal age, but knock it off 20 years. And I guess the far left, the LGBT group says, you're making fun of us. And, they don't like that he's doing that, but he's totally serious and he's doing this. They did say, and I thought, you know, this logic was their logic is, well, what do you get to do to your mother, you know, for those 20 years that she didn't have a son, you know, if you change that date? And I'm like, well, what do you get to do to your son, to your mother who had a baby girl and now he's a boy? So I thought that was fascinating. In fact, I'm thinking about doing it. You know, now that I'm 54, why can't I be 34?
I think, you know? I might need to file a friend of the court brief for that one because I'm a little afraid my wife then might try and file something to suggest that I'm 20 years older than I am because I pretty much have the body of a 68-year-old, you know?
Oh my gosh. Mine would probably find me younger so that I could work a little longer and, you know, we can be out there in the workforce longer.
There you go.
Yeah, well, I could start collecting Social Security if I was 68, though.
That is a good point.
I'll have to think about this a little longer.
Because it won't be around much longer the way things are going, so you better get it while you can.
That's right. Everything. That's true.
That's true.
Well, Scott, did you bring anything to the news table this time? We need a clever name and maybe a... you know, kind of an all point.
We'll just use that. That was really good.
Okay.
That was good. You could call it Hot Topics.
Hot Topics. Okay. That's a good.
The only big news I noticed this week was Stan Lee died, which all the comic book guys are going, you know, bonkers now. So
I'm But, so you know, I could tell that as people were talking about him, you know, they were kind of laughing and they were, because he's 95 years old. It wasn't like he was cut down in the prime of his life.
True.
And here's my theory. My theory is when they defeat Thanos, Stanley's coming back.
They'll just unmulch him.
Well, you know, and the Avengers, you know, my kids would go see one of those movies, and I'm like, I'd say, how was it? And they said, oh, it was really good. And I said, let me guess. The person who was dead, they thought was dead, is now alive. And they're like, how'd you know? Because, like, that's the way it always works. Yep. So that's, Stan Lee is probably coming back. That's my theory.
At some point. That's I'm with you.
Okay. Well,
I can give you two, Todd.
Now okay, go ahead.
Man, I had these thoughts. Because two big things are coming up, as you like to mention once before, but the big news of the Toy Story 4 coming out next summer. Oh,
wow. Did you see the trailer?
Yes, did you?
What'd you think about it? Oh, yeah, I saw it.
It leaves it open for many, many things. So be interesting.
Have you seen it, Scott?
No, I didn't even hear about it.
No, Scott will be. Don't worry about it, Michael. As we're talking really important stuff, Scott will be watching it. he's probably looking it up right now.
I'm not.
But it's kind of this 1970s music, la 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 la. You know, and they're kind of going around this circle, and then we see a spork who's been made into a toy, and he goes, "I'm not a real toy." And that was kind of that was it. And this line that they're trotting around kind of falls apart. And so it leaves a lot to the imagination. But my kids, who are like totally on top of this, said that they heard an interview. I think it was by Tom Hanks, that apparently it's so emotional that he couldn't even get through his lines. So I'm thinking, well, so I don't know. This could be the last. This could be the last roundup for Woody and his gang.
Yeah, I saw another clip too where there's a baby chicken and a bunny, and they look so happy, and then the chick's dancing all over the place, and the bunny gets this mean, evil stare on his face. So he's probably the villain in this movie, but they didn't do much else with that.
Really, just like a little teaser.
Yes.
Well, that's interesting. I know that you know, this is not in the news, but. We're planning to, for the last, I don't know, 4 years maybe, we've done kind of a Thanksgiving movie, you know, and they've had some good kid-friendly movies. I think Frozen was 1 year, but we're all excited to go see Wreck-It Ralph this year. So we're Wreck the Internet, so that should be good.
Yeah, we have that on our radar too, because it opens, we can see it Tuesday night here.
Awesome.
For special screening, so we're looking to do that as well. So.
They have a special screening just for people in Tampa?
I don't know, but it's open in our theater, so
okay.
It's only got two shows that day. So
okay, wow. Okay. Well, hey, we're going to kind of switch gears here, and the reason we have Michael on the show is because we were kind of chatting back and forth via email, and he had mentioned that he had a new endeavor that he was anticipating, and I just thought, wow, you know, I think some other guys would be encouraged by that. But before we go there, Michael, why don't you just tell us real quickly about your family and what you do right now for a living?
Okay, great. My wife's name is Michelle. We've been married for 21 years as of this past October. I have two sons, Matthew, who's 17, and Miles, who's 14. We homeschool them both. We've been doing that since fourth grade on each. And, you know, they're into sports. We're still part of our Christian school that we went to when they were kids. We can play sports there and stay involved. And we just love it down here in Florida, and that's us.
Hello?
I muted myself accidentally. So what do you do for a living?
Was searching.
You're playing with the mute buttons too.
No, I just hit it. So tell us what you do for a living, and you've done it for a while, right?
Yeah, when my first son was born, I was looking for a little change from what I was doing, working for our local electric company, and I came to work for my father-in-law to help him straighten up and organize his business that he's had here for a while. We were in the trucking business, and then we have a warehouse, and we have multiple things going on here that we had when I started, so I've just kind of been the manager of that for him until he had passed away a few years ago. And then I'm still doing it for my mother-in-law right now.
And you've done that for how long?
It will be 17 years in March.
17 years. Now, the reason I'm having you on here is because you said things have gotten tougher in that business, and you're thinking about maybe doing something different. So maybe you could talk to us about how that kind of came about and what you're thinking of.
Yeah. So after my father-in-law passed away, you know, we were reevaluating everything, and we seemed to have just hit a rut to where we had six businesses doing different things, and well, now we're down to three. And it's just, no matter what corner I was turning, it just seemed we weren't making bad decisions. It just, a customer would leave, or this regulation would change, or it seemed that all our trucks died out at the same time, and the cost to replace them was just immense. So we started really breaking down the numbers to find out what was making money and what wasn't. So when one of my largest customers decided to change their business plan, it was nothing we did, but they were going to operate differently, it really took a knock on us. So unfortunately, we went through 2017. We had to lay off two people. We looked at the numbers in the beginning of 18, had to lay off another person. So it's really down to just myself and a couple guys in our warehouse. And we've narrowed it down to our warehousing business. We take our old trailers and rent them out to people like for storage. And then we have the property management company where we have one building that we manage with a couple tenants in it, with ourselves in it as well. So it's, things are really, really tight here right now. So it's quite stressful for that matter.
And so then, I don't know if this was started by your mother-in-law, but her concern, she kind of came to you and said some things, right?
Yeah. As we were in here going over the numbers after we let, the last person we could actually let go besides myself. And she says, you know, we're going to, you know, have to keep a close eye on this to make sure this is working. And if it's not, do you have a backup plan? And I was like, not really. You know, I've had a part-time job. This is just more for fun than for money. I was refereeing flag football for little kids and soccer, but not as an income supplier. So I started trying to do some research. You know, what could I do at my age? I mean, I just turned 50.
How old are you? Okay.
I just turned 50 in September. And, you know, so back then I was 49. What could I do at my age fresh? You know, because I've been with the family business for 17 years. So it's kind of tailored around that area. So it called a matter of happenstance or just intervention by a higher power. I was in March, in the end of March, beginning of April, I was talking with a friend of mine who we grew up with, same neighborhood as kids from 10 years old, and he's moved all over the country doing different things. And we were going to play in a golf tournament, and he asked me if we could do a practice round on a Saturday, and I told him that I couldn't because I was refereeing the flag football. And he jokingly made a joke, oh, is this your new career? And I'm like, no, it just brings in some extra money. He says, well, funny you say that because I'm looking for an apprentice, basically. He is a home appraiser, been one for 20 years. He had worked for Hertz, a great job, and he left that just because he didn't want a desk job anymore. And he's like, I'm in Florida, and I want to grow my business, and I need an apprentice for me. He says, you know, it pays better than your other job, you know, your part-time job, and, you know, you kind of set your own schedule, and as long as you get things done on time. So we had a lot of conversations about it. I had a lot of conversations with my wife. I mean, I prayed a lot about it because it's just, at my age, it's scary. And, mm-hmm. you know, what am I going to do? I mean, I was hoping that everything where I was just going to last forever and kids could do it if they wanted to and just keep the family thing going. But it just, it's the trucking business, the warehouse business is getting tougher and tougher every day. So, you know, it came to a point, he was like, you know, what do you think? It was about a month later. And I'm like, you know, I think we're going to do this. So I did the research on what to do. And I mean, you have to take classes, which of course you have to pay for. You have to put some money out front. And it seems kind of simple because it's like 103 hours of classes. But when you're working full-time and full-time dad and you try to find the time to do that, it literally took me from about April 11th and I graduated and got my trainee's license on August 23rd. So it took me the whole summer to get that completed. Mm-hmm.
Well, okay. So I know as we talked about that, you were kind of like, I said, hey, you know, what about, being on the show and encouraging, you know, just telling us your story. And you were kind of like downplaying it, like, well, yeah, but you know, I still got this kind of thing going, and I didn't, you know, it wasn't like I just found myself without a job. And you were kind of making it sound like, well, this is really not as scary as it seems. But it is scary. It is scary. And you even mentioned, because as we were talking on the phone yesterday, you know, because once you hit our age, and Scott's not there. Scott's not in our age yet, even though he could probably be legally 68. You know, that's where all the sitcoms and all the shows where the dilemma is, you know, I'm 50 years old and I can't find a job because nobody's hiring, you know. And so now we're there. And it feels like, you know, that's a big deal. And maybe even, I don't know, maybe not even just the physical part, but isn't there, there's kind of a mental aspect where it feels, you know, because I've thought about that, you know, not like, oh, I'm going to quit this family man gig because there are easier ways to make a living. But I, you know, I wonder, you know, will I speak enough in 4 years from now, or, you know, and, or will anybody even care about my stuff, you know, in 5 years from now? And, you know, there's a little bit of you that says, if I move on, then does that mean that I failed at what I'm doing now? Do you feel any of that?
Hugely. And it's really felt largely because it's within the family. Right. So it's not just, you know, okay, I failed at this job and, you know, that's happened. I've had that happen growing up before I got this job. I mean, I mm-hmm. tried things that didn't work, whatever, we move on. But when you're looking at your father-in-law's legacy, your right. family's business, because he started working here when he was 16 and he worked, got the company from the previous owner, willed to him. And, you know, it hurts because yeah. I feel bad. I do feel that way because I feel like I should have, you know, where was the missing is and what happened. And so, yeah, I definitely have all those feelings as well. And I am scared because, you know, I have my trainee license, but to actually become certified and be able to do things on my own, it's another 2,500 hours of service, another 60 hours of classes, and it can't be completed in less than 2 years. These are rules and regulations by the government. So I know it's going to be 2 years till I can sit and try to take my test to become certified, to where, as you know, my friend told me, he says, well, you can either go out on your own or you can stay with us and, you know, we'll just grow this thing together. And so though here I am with my fancy license I have laminated and keep with me, I really am not able to do things on my own. And I'm doing the training with them, and though, you know, a lot of it is knowledge and being out there and being in your market and understanding how this house relates to another house and the appraisal process. I mean, there's a lot of things that are just book easy, that, you know, how you take the pictures, how you run these programs. They're pretty simple, but it's that time. And that's why the government makes you take the 2 years of training so that you're not doing that, because their big thing is having the public's respect. They want to know that you are non-biased and you're doing everything that you feel is correct for the market and not for anybody or anything. So it is a very scary thing, because it's like, okay, if something happens to this job quicker than I can get trained, where's it going to be?
Right. And really, that's why we're having this conversation, because I know what you just described is a super brave thing. And I guess, you know, you really, as a dad, maybe you kind of have to put yourself almost last, right? Because you're not responsible just for your family's business. You're responsible for your family. And since they like to eat and they like to have a house, you kind of have to put all that aside. But I know guys who get stuck in that. Who gets stuck in that, maybe it's a dream, maybe it's just they've been beaten down so far, and, you know, maybe they have a job that doesn't pay very well, and, you know, but it is a job, and they're just scared to take that step of change. And I don't know what you'd say to all this, Scott, because I assume you've been watching the Toy Story 4 trailer.
Huh?
But what do you think about all that?
I feel like I've been in this stage of life for years now of transitioning from one career into another, and I'm still not sure where I'm going to land exactly, though I am working on some things at the moment. But that it is stressful as heck when you're, you know, when you feel like the failure. You know, it's like, wait, I got fired. I mean, I got fired 3 times in a row from a career I never really wanted. So it took me that long for God to get my attention, I guess, to move on to something else. But
well, and I was sharing with Michael yesterday. I know a guy who, you know, he was hoping to invent the next big thing. And when I talked to him, he had been working on it for, you know, three plus years. Their family was struggling, you know, just really struggling financially, destitute, not like eating, you know, crumbs off the street, but just really, really struggling. And I think the wife was struggling, even though she was doing an amazing job of supporting her man. And, you know, but there was a point where I kind of wanted to say, hey, you know, either put your dream aside and get a job, or, you know, table it for a little while, but you have a family that you need to take care of, because, you know, the Bible's pretty harsh on us dads if we don't provide for our families, if we don't take care of our families. And I guess I want the dads listening to maybe just to be encouraged by Michael's words that it's not easy, but you can do it. You know, and maybe you're stuck. I'm going to just challenge you to get out of the mud and try again. Michael, I don't know. How's your wife feeling all that? Is she the type who would say, oh, Michael, you're so brave, or is it a silent, you know, I don't know. What's her response in all that?
Well, she's really great about it. Like most women, when you talk to them, they want to give you their opinions and their feelings and their thoughts. And she's been really great because my job is in the family business. She knows a lot what's going on in the business. You know, a lot of husbands I know, they don't talk to their wives about their jobs or what's going on at work. So, I mean, we're in constant conversation about it just because she has a part in it and wants to understand it. So, you know, when this came up, you know, we looked at all the ins and outs. We researched how the job works. We researched what the opportunities are with the job. And she knew, and I knew that, I think the words from her mom, the backup plan, what is it? This was a good opportunity for a backup plan. Mm-hmm. So she's been very supportive. You know, we, like I said, I had got my license in August. We had a whirlwind September and October. So I didn't get to work as much as I like to, but I'm actually going this afternoon to do some work. You know, and my mother-in-law has been wonderful, because if I need to leave early to take care of some, I mean, her words are, you know, the family business. If you have to leave to go do something, but you have to come back at 6 o'clock at night to finish your job, you know what it takes to finish the job. So as long as you make that happen, I'll be supportive of your new endeavor.
Well, what I think is cool too is that even though your kids, I don't know how your kids respond to that, but you know, kids don't really care. You know, they don't care. Is this going to affect me? If not, I'm okay with it. You know, but I think what you're doing is it just teaches. You know, it teaches your children, your sons, to be brave one day, because they're going to face the same situation. They're going to be, you know, stuck in a place where they don't like it. And the temptation is to, you know, shut down and say, I can't go, you know, I can't do it. But to have a dad who said, well, you know, it's not where I wanted to be, but this is what I'm going to do. And, you know, really, that's a hero dad. And I hope it's encouraging to all the dads. Well, Michael, we just hope that that you'll keep us in the loop. I know I'll stay in the loop, and you know, that we'll be anxious to hear how it all turns out. And but again, thanks for encouraging us to do what it takes as dads, and you've modeled it. And really, I still, it's amazing to me and it's encouraging to me. And Des, I hope it's encouraging to you. So Michael, thanks for being on the show and have a great day today.
All right. Thanks for having me, Todd. Always a pleasure to talk with you and Scott. You guys have a wonderful day as well.
Well, I don't know about you, Scott, but again, you know, I just admire dads. I admire dads who go beyond what comes natural, because I know for, you know, maybe for Michael, you know, the natural thing would be to try to ride this thing out, to stay where you're at, you know, hope maybe that that things will get better. But he's being proactive and taken care of just in case, you know, I admire the dads who, you know, who maybe don't want to go out and play with their kids and rake leaves and jump in a pile, but they do it because they know they should. Or the dad who, you know, pick an area, goes to a movie, even though he doesn't want to, or plays a video game, even though he doesn't want to, or does 100 other things, even though he doesn't want to. Because sometimes I just pick the easiest route. I pick my natural route, which is probably the wrong route. And so maybe we just let this encourage us and you, Dad. Maybe you're stuck doing something. Maybe it's not your job. Maybe it's something else. Maybe it's just stuck, you know, in, you know, doing your own thing. When you get home, you go home and crash, and you don't, you know, you don't interact with your children. Can I just encourage you, maybe let Michael's words encourage you, to get up and do what you need to do. And do it because you did that.
And that's our show for this week, Dads. Thanks for joining us for the Family Man Show with Todd Wilson. If you have a question for the show, you can email Todd at familyman@familymanweb.com. If you have a question for me, you can reach me at scott@unsocializedmedia.com. Thanks for joining us, Dad. Have a great week.
How about we finish that up?
Let me see if I can get rid of
it. I don't even know how to hang up.
I'll just hang up on you.
He's like stuck in the room. Back I can't get out.
This is what's going to play at the end of the show. I see it. I don't know where I'm going.
All right. We'll hang up on you.
All right. Bye. Yeah, because all it tells me, Scott, is I can block you, and then I won't talk to you anymore. So I don't know what to do.
All right.
We'll just find you.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye.